crime and terrorism analyst. We talked to him about all kinds of different things, including right now the what we've been talking about for the last few minutes, all those YouTube videos and other things you see on social media that that may or may not actually be true. Brad, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Paul.
There is an awful lot of misinformation out there, a lot of stuff that ordinarily would be thought of as really fringy conspiracy theory stuff that, that people are really looking at and sharing as legitimate news.
Well, and it's a combination of two things. You've got now, particularly on YouTube, very what I would call slickly produced, high-quality videos, great sound, possibly a doctor as a spokesman in a very straightforward way, you know, talk about things that the virus is basically a hoax, that there are cures or things that you can take or do that will keep you from getting the virus, you know, goes on and on. And, you know, you take that and, you know, you and I and maybe others will look at it and go, well, you know, he has a right to say that, but it doesn't make any sense to me at all. But then you have people that are feeling extremely desperate and hopeless because they've lost their job, they don't have enough money, they can't pay for childcare, whatever it might be, and they're looking for hope. They're looking for sort of a secret cure, if you will, to get through this. Like, could I take something? Is social distancing really not necessary? Things like that. That there are a percentage of the population because of a lot of different reasons, maybe even the distrust of the government or what government scientists are saying, that it gives them hope. As illogical as, if you look at it, it would be to many of us, they're going to hook onto it. I will tell you, Paul, that some of these videos on YouTube are getting millions of hits. So there are people listening to this. And I'm going to guess a certain percentage of them are going to believe some form or fashion of it.
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of people that believe these videos. YouTube has been taking them down. They pop back up again, and that's why when you see it shared on social media, it says, watch this before it's taken down again. How does YouTube prioritize what you see and what you don't see?
So if you think about literally the billions of video that's on their system and the millions that get uploaded every day, there's no way that anybody physically could look at all of those. But they create artificial intelligence or via an algorithm that look for certain words or phrases. And then they'll go look at it at that point and go, does this justify taking it down? My sense would be, and I don't know this, of course, is that they would take down videos where people are promoting you to drink bleach or do things mm-hmm. that could clearly harm you if you did them. I think they take those down. I think it gets into a gray area where people disagree with Anthony Fauci and are saying it's really not that bad. And, you know, in my professional view, it's X, whatever that might be, that's different. I think some of that stuff they leave up. I don't think there's a wholesale of taking down sites, but they're trying their best considering the volume.
Absolutely. You know, in 2016, we saw this proliferation of misinformation that became very divisive. Are we seeing more of that this year, in this election year, and in this age of COVID-19?
I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, we have sadly sort of entered this arena of a lot of friction and anger and rage and disappointment and distrust. And, you know, none of those things, no matter what your political view is, whatever your view is on any particular subject, we still all have to work together to get through the day, to get things done. And seem to have gotten lost in there, that it either has to be this way or that way, or I'm just mad at a lot of people because of what they're doing and I think it's not right, and instead of trying to fix it, just want to sort of complain about it. Not helpful, but we're kind of stuck there right now, which is, you know, I think is disturbing.
It is disturbing, and I don't see a way out, Brad.
Well, that is right. I don't. You know, this goes all the way from people that are in high-profile positions that say things that aren't true or are questionably true, to then people who take that view and then find some expert that will repeat or agree with what they're saying. It's, you know, the only thing I know to do is just we need to have these honest conversations, not putting people down, not saying, you know, why in the world would you believe this particular theory? Because that's not going to help to try to sort of talk them out of it. It's really going to have to be sort of a continue education of, please think about these things. Does it really make sense that at any time in your life you should drink bleach or something like that? I mean, I don't know. Beyond that, and trying to lower the temperature of conversations, because we still have to talk to each other. We can disagree, and that's great, and maybe we should disagree, but we have to be able to talk about it. And in my view, that's what we're losing.
Yeah, we need to get that back, absolutely. Brad, always appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for making time for us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Take care, Paul.
You too. Bye now.